On an iPhone, get our app by typing in 99.1 FM Talk.
Yo, yo, yo. 10:06 our time, live and local. I'm John Potter, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon in studio. We're talking real estate, baby. It's Mike Givens from Dixon Realty. That's a habit of mine. Realty. Realty, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Professional radio announcer here. So Mike Givens is with Dixon Realty. You seem like a young guy. So how long have you been in the business? And why, of all things, Mike, did you pick real estate to be your chosen career?
That's a great question. So I've been with Dixon and in the industry for 8 years. Many reasons, actually. As a kid growing up, we moved a lot. My parents always were buying new houses and stuff. And, you know, most kids, actually, I have a 12-year-old himself, and he doesn't like to go look at houses. But when I was a kid, every time my parents would tell me that we're going to look at houses, I would get super excited about it. And I loved going with them to check out homes and stuff. It was always excitement to me.
Hey, I still love that.
Oh, yeah.
I go to open houses, and I act like I'm interested, but in reality, I'm trying to get ideas for what to do on the inside of my house. And I've found some great ideas.
Oh, yeah.
It does bug me, though, that most of the time when I look at a house interior, it's like a lot better than mine. And so I don't want to go home.
Well, you got all those ideas, but then now you got to put them all together in one, right?
That's
the
catch.
Then you look at the amount of money. It's, I got to do this, I got to do this.
And who do you hire to do it, you know?
Well, the good news is I have a, I mean, for me and my clients, I have a long list of people that I work with and great references as far as every aspect and of the
You're
industry.
Right. So that's a real estate agent thing. That you have a list of the people you trust to do, say, like the roof and all sorts of stuff with the house. I want to snag that list from you. I'd love that. We're having lawn maintenance troubles, and we're going through one service to the next. And this last service, of course, the boss says, yes, I'll be there to supervise my crew. They never do. The boss never comes. And the crew doesn't speak English. And I swear to God, Mike, the last crew came out to our house. And, you know, Kathy wanted them to weed. Big yard, okay? She wants them to weed the yard. They pulled out the plants and left the weeds. Because, you know, I don't think they misunderstood her. What person would ask to leave the weeds and take out the plants, right? I think they didn't know a thing about gardening, so now they're gone. But anyway, off track here. So you liked looking at homes. I still do. How many homes are you personally under contract with that you would like to sell to the folks listening here?
Currently, I have 4 active ones on the market. One is actually under contract. The other 3 are still on the market. I got another one actually going up in the next couple of days out in Topaz, which is really, really cool property.
A house in Topaz?
You
mean by the lake?
So this is a distinct property. Most of them out there on the lake are on the lake. This is not. It's a 4.2-acre parcel that overlooks the entire lake. It's really, really cool.
Is Topaz getting developed?
There's a, you know, from time to time, people are, you know, buying a lot or two around the lake and building a, you know, new house and stuff like there. I don't know if it's, you know, getting overly developed. You know, one of the things that's really fact about Topaz or in general is in the northern Nevada area, there's actually only 2 lakes where you could purchase a home on the lake, and that's Lake Tahoe and that's Topaz.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I guess you're right. I can't think of any others. Wow, Topaz, I kind of hope it's not getting too developed because the place looks pretty much close to what it looked like in the 70s to me.
It's a great area.
Yeah, you still have just the one motel there and houses encircling around it, but the houses don't go all the way up to the hills or anything like that. You know?
This one's a little more elevated, but it's got unbelievably good views of the lake. It just overlooks all of it.
Wow, okay, man. never considered Topaz. That's great. Where are the other three houses?
One is in Somerset. The other one is the townhouses that are pretty much diagonal from R.C. Willie's, called Espionage.
By Steamboat Parkway.
Yeah,
Steamboat South Reno
Parkway. The other one is off Selezy Lane on Creek Crest.
You used to live at Somerset. What can you say about living there for somebody who might be considering, like, your home for sale at Somerset?
Do you like golf?
All right, golf, they got that down.
Yeah. It's you know, it's a private golf course. It's wonderful. I did live out there for 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm an avid golfer myself, and I was a member there for 12 years. Really, it's, if you like golf, it's got a it's its own community as well. You know, it's got the town center. It's got restaurants, sushi, you name it. It's got the clubhouse with multiple pools. One of the pools is open, you know, year round, heated. Tennis courts, gym, indoor basketball. They do pickleball in the indoor basketball every Saturday. So there's a lot. You know, the fitness center has classes and stuff you could sign up for. There is a little nine-hole par three that's open to just the community in general, right? You've got the private golf course, which is or the championship golf course, which is a little separate. Yes, you do need to be a member there. But in order to live in Somerset, you do not have to be a member of the championship course. And to be a member at that golf course, you don't have to live in Somerset. So,
well, you said it. It is kind of its own town there. It has that community feel with the town center and things, and they have their own. Gosh, last time I was there, they had a wine store or something, a nice store for convenience, and also a really nice restaurant, or I think two restaurants, right?
Yeah,
they have a sushi place, and they just reopened the old tap house, I think, right?
Yep, like I think it was about 2 weeks ago that they had opened that up. The sushi restaurant's still there.
Sushi's still there. The new one's Italian, right?
No, it's kind of got a mixed menu, but where there was an Italian restaurant in there.
That
one
moved.
My understanding, they are going to be working on putting something else, another type of restaurant in there, to my understanding.
Okay, so it's vibrant, and it's gorgeous. I hear nothing bad about Somerset. Nice to be by the, you know, border too, but on the Nevada side.
Kind of crazy as a kid growing up, though, that it was nothing. Absolutely nothing. We used to ride our dirt bikes and everything back in that area when I was just a little kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Yeah. Too bad. Anyway, no, it's a beautiful area. So you have Topaz, you have Somerset, and you have two homes in South Reno at the moment. Our homes, you know, I've heard both sides. Do they make new homes better than they did the old, or vice versa?
I guess it really just kind of depends, you know, and depends on, I guess, your builder and everything. But I would say, you know, over the years, we'll use South Meadows as a prime example. So many builders and everything out in the area, as it's just expanded like crazy, you know, as over the years of doing inspections and selling homes out there, you know, we don't run into, you know, too many problems. So I wouldn't say that, you know, the builders are... Mm-hmm. You know, doing a bad job. You know, they're still holding strong, but you know, of course, nothing like a very solid built home back, you know, in the 60s when those were done by carpenters and stuff, that just mm-hmm. you know, they were solid brick, or you know, the wood that they used and everything. So, you know, times will change
for and
sure.
Pros and cons. One thing I know is the new homes are a lot more energy efficient for folks, and values. Where can we find values, Mike Givens?
I guess the real question is, you know, every person, what they're looking for is different. You know, each person's situation is different. Value wise, if we're looking, you know, our average median price right now is $590, and that's up there. If you're looking for a good value and a good home, I'll use prime example, you know, out there in the north, the Lemon Valley, Golden Valley area, you know, you have homes that were kind of started in the early 2000s and is still to this day being built. I am going to be listing two out there in that area, and they're going to be around the 450 range. You know, if you're a first-time home buyer and the prices that we have nowadays, it's probably hard to get in. So if you're, you know, first-time home buyer looking for a good price,
It now. I mean, history says if you wait 3 or 4 years later, it's going to be worth quite a bit more. I mean, except for the big blip we had during the Great Recession, but we came back from that too. So this ridiculous price appreciation that we're seeing in this area, do you sense it's still headed up? Are you, and you would know, because you know, I think you have a sense of how many people are moving here. That's the key. It's all the people moving here, mainly from California. Do we still have that stream of newcomers coming in here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that one's really funny because have I helped a lot of people, you know, moving here from California? Yeah, I absolutely have. Crazy enough, it's not the only state. I've helped people.
And the Californians still think they're getting a good deal here.
Oh, they definitely
because
are.
Because you're comparing it to the Golden State.
Crazy enough, I've sold a lot of homes from people moving from Oregon.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's cheaper here than Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
It depends,
don't live out
you know,
there.
Taxes. Taxes make a world of difference.
Sure does. All right, folks. One more segment with Mike Givens, talking real estate. One of my favorite topics from Dixon Realty. If you, the phones are down, but I'll tell you what, email the, or text. That still works, I think. 775-884-9910. And the texts come through to my email. So if you text a question or comment for Mike here, I can ask that for you. 884-9910. We'll be back in a few. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 1018.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area on one radio station. Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local in studio with Mike Givens, Dixon Realty, for just one more segment. And thank you for the texts. We'll get to that in just a moment. Dixon Realty, is Dixon still the big dog?
Yeah, that's one reason why I love working there. We've been number one real estate company for over 20 years in the area.
And you're purely local because it's not like, well, I don't mean to diss, you know, Remax or anything like that. Those are like national firms, aren't they?
Yeah, franchises. We are a locally owned company.
That's right. So got your own name on it, Dixon Realty. You were 19 years old when you bought your first home.
Correct.
That's how much this guy likes homes. Tell me the story about that one. 19 years old, you bought your first home in Reno.
One of the other reasons I loved real estate and was into it, too, as a kid growing up, my aunt was a lender for over 30 years. She made amazing money, did really well, but she also made a lot of her wealth throughout the years of not just work, but homes, purchasing them, you know, and everything else like that. And I just watched what she did growing up. And when I was 19 years old, I called her one day and I said, hey, I want to buy a house in the future. What do I got to do? And what do I got to do to start planning? And we talked a little bit more and she said, you could actually purchase one now. And so I ended up purchasing that home. I didn't think I could do it, but
Where was the home?
So the home was at the very top of Virginia Street, off of Old North Virginia. Those homes that kind of just you know, are right along the freeway right there if you get off on.
Oh yeah.
So very cool though. I'm fifth generation, born and raised here, and my great grandfather used to actually own all that land. And in the early 2000s, he had sold that land to the housing development that was getting ready to start a project there. And I thought, what cooler way to purchase a home than to be able to purchase the home on the land that my family used to own. And so that was back in 2004 when people were waiting outside in tents to get on the waiting list and stuff like that. And
it did start around then, didn't it?
Yeah.
Or 2000?
About the 2000, mainly 2003, 2004 area.
People would stay up all night waiting outside for the
just to get on the waiting list.
Oh my God! But you ended up short selling the house in 2009.
I did.
I mean, that's weird because the Great Recession didn't happen really till 2010. So how could you have lost anything on this before the recession happened?
It actually may have been 2010 when I sold it. Yeah. Actually, crazy enough, after 2 years of living in the home, it was new build. It was, you know, I got to choose everything in it. That's kind of cool, right? As a 19-year-old, you get to choose your cabinets and everything. You know, like I said, my aunt was very smart, and she came to me after 2 years and said, "You have a lot of equity. Do you want to sell?" And I said, "I like where I live. I like the home. I like everything about it. I think I'm going to go ahead and hold on." And then in about 2007, we started to see a little bit of a decline. And
really?
Then it continued to decline a little bit more. And yeah. I held on as long as I can. I didn't want to give it up. I was working at that point two jobs to try to continue to make the house payment. And it just reached a point where I couldn't. And, you know, one of the tough parts is back then I was on an interest-only loan. They gave those out back then, you know, and at that point in time,
a 19-year-old.
Yeah, my time was up and my house payment changed drastically. And I just said, I couldn't do this. I can't do this anymore. And I think that's one of the reasons what has made me feel stronger, right, is I've gotten to go through that process as well to know what it was like to have to short sell a home. And it doesn't scare me. I still think that real estate is one of the best choices any person could make.
Yeah, ever since then, it's been very hot. My first home I bought in 1977, and it was brand new home, small home, one story. It was $36,000 that I paid for this new home. And this was in Owensboro, Kentucky, on Yellowstone Drive.
You can't even get a new car for that.
No, and when I got the job in Reno and moved here in 78, I tried to rent it out. And one of the biggest mistakes I made was being an out-of-town landlord. You think they take advantage of landlords now, man. If they know you're out of town, they know you're not going to fly back there and try to get the money. So I had to evict a few people. And I had a housing agency, I don't know what you call them, I guess a realty office. Property manager, there you go. And they got like a ridiculous cut of the rent. And so I wasn't really making any money on it. So I sold it. But I remember the thrill of the brand new house, and it's mine for $35,000. And let me ask you this one more thing. The new homes, they kind of fascinate me because now they have smart appliances and such. What are people looking for? What features are people looking for with these new homes? They are designed better, I think. You look at these old houses and every single room is small, even the kitchen. There are too many rooms. Because I guess we had bigger families back then or something. But now we have the big, big room where the kitchen is on one side of the big room and the living room is on one side. And over there is the dining room with no walls, which is great. It has a big open feel to it. So give a plug for the new homes here. What do people love about them?
Well, I mean, in the end of the day, you get a brand new home. You know,
it's brand new.
Yeah. Brand new. You shouldn't have to worry about any issues. You know, is it with older homes?
And if you have issues, there's somebody to go to.
Yeah, your roof. You know, over time, your heating units, your cooling units. You know, water heaters. Just things are gonna over time end up having to be replaced, and they could be big ticket items. One of the big benefits you have is you get a new home, mm-hmm. and not only do you get a new home, you get a 1 year builder's warranty with them. So, you know, you get into it and just keep track. And at the end of that year, you kind of keep a little note and they're going to come back in. And all the little features that maybe, you know, have happened and you want fixed or done after that year, the new build's going to come in and do that. So, what better than that?
HOAs. Yes or no?
Really just depends. You know, they do have a reasoning behind them. You know, features that kind of come with them. It just kind of depends on your area, right?
I've seen both sides, man. You know, I'm currently not in an HOA, but, you know, there they are, the two houses that are a dumps on your street.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, you get a purple house here and there and stuff like that. Anyway, listen, we hit the lowest prices in I looked this up in February 2010, near the end of the Great Recession. Nobody was buying houses here. I think the average house, the median price in Reno was like under $300,000. Why weren't we out there buying as much as we can right then and there? I mean, what were we thinking? I mean, obviously it was the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Did we think the whole country was going to collapse or something? I can't believe I didn't go all in on
I mean, the smartest thing you could have done was buy up everything you could at that current time. There's no doubt about
it. Well, yeah, I know. I'm just grousing. Anyway, it's been a pleasure talking with you, Mike Givens, Dixon Realty. You want to say any final words to folks who may want to utilize your services?
Well, thank you for listening, and thanks for having me on here. You know, fifth generation, born and raised here, real estate is everything to me. It's my career. I specialize in both buying and selling. I really love to do both. To service anybody that would love to use my help.
You're in the downtown Reno Dixon Realty office. And how do people find you? Can they just Google Mike Givens, Dixon Realty?
Yeah, Mike Givens or Michael. Okay. You'll most likely it's going to pop up as Michael Givens.
All right, my man.
At Dixon Realty.
Super. Nice meeting you.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Good meeting new people here. Got a break for Fox News. It's all you and me, folks. You can text comments. I got a few to read. After the news, and we'll check on the phone system. I think it's still down, but I can read your texts, 775-884-9910. So I'm going to do a lot of talking, a lot to talk about here, a lot of local stuff. Greg Neft has local news after Fox News, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a little bit, FM News Talk time, 1031.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Government is bad and government is evil.
99.1
and 92.3
FM Talk, KKFT.
News, talk, truth.
So why is it the culture that achieves the least expects the most? And they won't get it because that is not a recipe for success. It's Random Thoughts today. I'm John Potter. Current temperature, we just hit 80 degrees in Reno. As you just heard Craig Swope say, we're expecting highs in the 90s. We are going to see triple digits. It looks like Reno, Sparks, Fallon, and Yerington will hit triple digits Monday and Tuesday. And Reno might break the record high of 102 degrees on Tuesday. And that record is from 1970. We might beat it. All right, let's get to the texts. John, radar detectors. When's the last time I've seen one? I see one on my dash every time I drive into California, says this person. I was talking about my drive to work, I think, when I first came on at 9 o'clock this morning, and I was behind a slowpoke, and as I was passing him, I looked over, and oh my gosh, there's a radar detector on his dash, this Bearcat, and I just, whoa, when's the last time I saw that? I don't think, do they even work anymore with technology? I don't know. Another text, okay. I'd like to touch on the subject that's not mentioned very often and speak to our local slot players. Stop banging the buttons on the machine like a freak, like it's going to pay you more, and they probably will work next time for other people. SMH. You know, I never found out what SMH means. I really don't want to know. I'm pretty sure it's obscene. But, yeah, it's Like, if you talk to somebody who works in a casino, that's a serious issue. A couple of weeks ago, we were at GSR, and this lady was just pounding the buttons on her machine. People do it. They're the same people that do that with the buttons on the crosswalks to change the light faster. The button smash. I see kids do the button smashing on the walk button walking to Wooster High when I walk to work here. So even the younger generation, we're going to have a whole human race. The button smashing will never end. But in a casino, the button smashing does not help you get a jackpot. If anything, I think it gives you less of a chance, right? I think the casinos might want to punish that. You better not do it. The machine will retaliate. If anything, it's bad mojo. I thought you gamblers were superstitious not to do that. Don't forget that Twilight Zone episode where, was it Telly Savalas? And he beats on a slot machine, and then when he's in bed at night, he hears the machine. It's coming up the stairs to get him. And as dumb as that sounds, that gave me serious nightmares as a kid. And that is why I was not allowed to watch any more Twilight Zone, and I was banned from watching Route 66, the TV show, because they had a freaky episode, and that scared me, too. I was such a sissy. But anyway, I know this stuff. I worked at the Sahara Reno back in the day in the 70s, and you would see people, you know, here's a cute thing. I mean, aside from the button smashing, another habit people have with slot machines, they line up all their good luck charms, like, you know, a little angel or a little cat figurine or a tiny treasure chest on the slot machine. I remember we had a guy who was always tapping the glass when the slot wheels were turning. And some people, they slap the side of the machine when the wheels are turning. Once I saw a lady rubbing the display screen with feathers before she pulled the lever. All right, we'll talk more about weird people later. We reported this week, to more newsy stuff here, I think it was Monday, about the feds, Department of Justice specifically, adding Nevada to a federal list of sanctuary jurisdictions. That means we have some sanctuary cities or towns and or counties who provide sanctuary to illegals and block law enforcement attempts to take them. The list contains several cities and 12 states, including us, California, and New York, that the Justice Department said have policies, laws, or regulations that impede enforcement of federal immigration laws. And when this came out, every politician in Nevada who spoke out about this said, no, there's no sanctuary anything in Nevada. And Republican politicians, including the governor and Congressman Abate, unloaded on the DOJ. Like, how dare you say that? The governor posted on his X, quote, Nevada is not a sanctuary state and will never be a sanctuary jurisdiction under Governor Lombardo. Even the Democrats, our two U.S. senators, and our state attorney general denied Nevada has a sanctuary jurisdiction. I think, you know why? I think mainly because this could threaten millions of dollars in federal funds for Nevada from the Trump administration. You know, of course they're going to say that. But anyway, they say it's not a sanctuary anything in Nevada. But is that true? And did any local news operation actually go out and find out if it's true? I know. Well, it's a gray area, but we do have what can be considered sanctuary policies. I know that Washoe County deputies are not allowed to share immigration status information with ICE without what's called a detainer by policy, which is a written request. that has to come from ICE beforehand that asks officers to hold someone for 48 hours after their release date. And I believe Reno Police has the same policy. Also, the providing of driving credentials for people illegally in the U.S. by Nevada is in defiance of federal immigration law. That is a form of sanctuary right there, including extra effort from Nevada DMV. Attorney General Aaron Ford has supported illegal immigrant legal support, or how to avoid or how to deal with ICE, how to access public entitlement, and he has fought to keep or increase funding for that. He has advocated that illegal migrants be shielded from ICE during jail and court processes. Ford released non-binding immigration policies from his office, which included telling law enforcement officers to focus on preventing and investigating crime and not to, quote, engage in unpaid and non-criminal federal immigration enforcement. That's from our state attorney general. Getting close to a sanctuary there. In 2019, Nevada U.S. Senator Catherine Cortez Masto introduced the Protecting Sensitive Locations Act, which mandated that ICE agents get approval from a supervisor before engaging in enforcement actions at certain locations. Certain locations. You mean like sanctuaries? I don't know. And I do remember Reno Mayor Bob Cashel. I did several interviews with Bob when he was mayor, both when I was on the other talk station and when I was on Channel 2. And one story, somewhere around 2010, I think we were doing a legal aid for immigrants story I did, where I asked the mayor point blank, because this was kind of a new thing talked about in Nevada. I said, is Reno a sanctuary city? And Bob Cashel instantly, right in front of the camera, he said, without a pause, yes, Reno is a sanctuary city. Now, I don't think he was talking about any city law there. That was just Mayor Bob, you know, making a pronouncement that he, as mayor, decided to declare Reno, as a mayor, that he considered Reno to be a sanctuary city. So, you know, it's not enough for our state politicians to refute what the feds say. It's not enough to say, no, we aren't. No. Our leaders need to come right out and say they support and will help immigration enforcement to do their job, especially here in northern Nevada, and not say the opposite like Aaron Ford is doing. Because, you know, we have border laws for a reason. And any state that tries to protect those who come into our country the wrong way by sneaking across the border should not receive permission or driver's licenses from Nevada. And the people in office allowing this in any city should be reported on. It's not racism or any other name the left wants to call it. And as the Democrats are lately fond of saying now, no one is against the law, Nevada should not be aiding anyone who breaks the law. Now, just yesterday, Lyon County Sheriff Brad Pope clarified that Lyon County is not a sanctuary county, and he's right about Lyon County. I know they do cooperate with immigration enforcement, and I think this DOJ calling Nevada a sanctuary state has something to do with this. Yesterday, Governor Lombardo suddenly came out yesterday and authorized the state's National Guard to provide temporary administrative assistance to ICE. There you go. Well, they weren't doing it before, but now they will, even though they put the word temporary in there. Don't know why. People who know me are listening to this and saying, oh, my God, what happened to you? You were a newsroom liberal. And I was. I was a pretty obnoxious liberal, too. Back when I was debating Dad at the dinner table, he was a through-and-through Republican, ran for city council, and I was this know-it-all liberal, and it was during the Nixon-McGovern campaigns, and we would argue at the dinner table over that. I was a liberal back then. 76? I forgot. But I stayed liberal all through college, and back around when I was at the other talk station, I think that was like around 2006, 2007, I would have friendly but pretty passionate political discussions with Bill Manders, whose face would get red when we would debate. And I even got into some biting political back and forth with sweet Samantha Stone. What turned me into a conservative was Channel 2 around 2010, 2011, because I saw how only one side was presented in political stories. I had to, you know, anchor the morning news and talk every morning this ridiculous news script talking about Trump deep in Russian collusion, all this kind of stuff, which turned out to be false. And we never heard the other side of these political stories because we would read the scripts from CBS or CNN. So I saw how I had been deceived all these years by CBS and CNN, and the New York Times used to be my favorite paper. So, wow, 15 years now, I've been a common sense, golden rule, personal responsibility, and forever enemy of fake, slanted news conservative. There you go. That's me. Our time right now is 10:51. Going to take a break. Read your texts, 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday, 9 to noon, on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:51.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news in Nevada. 99.1 FM Talk.
News Talk, 99.1 and 92.3.
Hello.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. I'm John Potter. Craig in Carson City, what's the latest, my man? What's new?
Not much, John. We can take calls. We just
really?
Yes. I just can't give them to you on the screen so you see them. I can tell you who's on there, but...
Oh, that'd be awesome. Okay, yeah. Folks. Well, you can call in now, but we only got 3 minutes till Fox News here. So, yeah, I'd sure like to get your take on, you know, what we were just talking about, sanctuary cities. And we can bring up hot August nights, be incumbent to do that, too. What else did we talk about? Radar detectors are back. Radar detectors. I saw one. I almost got killed. I didn't bring this up twice on my long hike that I talked about where I was witnessing or reporting on all the Anyway, you don't want to hear that again. But, okay, twice now I'm crossing. This happened the first time I was crossing Limberry and crossing the road in a crosswalk. And the car coming from, I get my directions messed up. The car coming out of the side street would normally, you assume, would keep going straight. Well, it came up right up to me because this person absolutely refused to use their turn signal. And I stood there and I try not to taunt people. I really do. But I had to. I just had it. This is not the first time this has happened. And it was there and I stopped and looked at it. The car wanted to turn left on the road I was crossing, but it was a rather new car. I'm sure the blinker worked, too. But they just refused to turn it on. So I held up my fist, and I did like this, you know, closed fist, then open all five fingers, closed fist, open all five fingers. It looks like a blinker, okay? And I was trying to get the message to this driver to turn on the blinker. And they, you know, just stared at me. So
well,
I lost that battle.
On the road, speaking of on the road at things happening, we're working with Sergeant Christopher Brown of Nevada Highway Patrol, Nevada State Police, to do a segment or half hour once a month.
That'd be great.
Yes, and we've talked about this on the phone about what the topics we'd like to talk about. He couldn't make it this week or next, but we're shooting for the weekend of the 23rd when you're doing your remote.
Oh, I would love that. That's good you're doing that for me, Craig. I really appreciate that. I will give this trooper a list of all the people I want arrested. And I have a long list. It's all management at Channel 2, but still, it'd be very, very interesting to meet this person. I can't wait. That'd be awesome. Can you get me a lawyer to be on the show, preferably the same lawyer who won Gina Carano's settlement? That would be awesome.
That was a great win for Gina.
I am so proud of her for fighting it out. What else could she do? She was blacklisted and after Disney fired her. But cancel culture hits a Reno local. That was what I said that got me in trouble with the TV station. And that's why I'm here. So things work out. You know, it took a while for things to work out, but it has. We're going to break for Fox News. Be right back. And we're going to take phone calls here after Fox News. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk. Back in a few.